I'll invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 once again. Brother Dave's got a scripture for us this morning. It's Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. If you're going to follow along in your Bible, in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1347. And if you're using your Pew Bible, keep it in your lap because we're going to be looking around a little bit.
Okay, Ephesians 6, 10 to 13 says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts in the wicked in the heavenly places. And therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand."
Very good. Let's pray and thank the Lord God for his word. Our Father, as always, it is our delight to hear your words. It is good, Father, that we have our ears open to listen to what you have to say to us today. And we pray, Father, that you would, in all of your mighty power, cause us to stand against the evil one. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. All right, so like I said, we're taking a little time here to concentrate on this phrase, the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God, right? You have to have the whole kit so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, right? Able to stand. So clearly then what the devil wishes, what he's aiming at, is to cause us to either fall or to retreat, right? What's the opposite of stand your ground? It's either to fall or to flee. And so whatever tactic he can use to accomplish that, he's certainly going to employ it. And anything that can get the Christian either to cease to engage in the battle or leave the battle, right, leave it to others, or surrender, he's going to try to do. So the wiles of the devil heavily depend, therefore, on exploiting our sense of fear. Fear is what I want to speak to you about today. Remember how the scripture says that the whole world lies in the grip of the evil one. Okay, it's under subjection to him, and he very much intends to keep it that way. And perhaps the most effective way to keep your subjects in subjection is by way of fear and trepidation. Okay? The thesis I want to put to you this morning is that the natural born state, spiritual state of every man, woman, and child is a state of fear. Okay, I'll say it again. The natural born spiritual state of every man, woman, and child is a state of fear. Secondly, therefore, that an integral part of being born from above, being born again, and, right, as the scripture says, set free, right, if the Son sets you free, is this transformation from a disposition of fear and vulnerability to one of confidence and boldness, okay? And making that transformation, undergoing that transformation, is a necessary part of what it means to believe in Christ or to put your trust in Christ. So I want to begin by looking at a passage from Hebrews chapter 2 about why Christ came. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's page 1374. Hebrews chapter 2, what mission was the Lord Jesus on? Okay, so this is Hebrews 2 and verse 14, which says this: "Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same." Okay, it's saying that since we're human beings, he took on our human nature. Why? So this is the second half of verse 14. So that, okay, this is the reason for the incarnation. This is Christ's objective in coming into the world. So that through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, namely the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay, do you understand what that's saying? It's just about the same thing that I just proposed to you, but in a little bit different words. That the natural-born spiritual state of a man or a woman or child is a state of fear. Right? All their lifetime, they were bound. Right? They were in the grip of the devil, subject to his power because of various fears. Okay? And that those fears result in captivity. Right? It means that a man or a woman cannot possibly live up to what God created them to be. A person cannot attain to the image and glory of God, can't flourish spiritually, can't fulfill the will of God, because he's pining away in handcuffs, let's say, in servitude, right? In this feeling of helplessness or powerlessness. And you know how this sounds, right? Sometimes you hear yourself saying these things. What's going to happen to me, right? I have to protect myself and my family. Is everything going to be okay? I'm so uncertain, right? All these what ifs, right? What if this? What if that? What if I get sick? This is so risky, right? Look how the world is falling apart. You know, what are we going to do? What will we ever do? How shall we provide? Those sorts of things. Okay, fear, an extremely effective tool of the devil. And with those who are not yet born again, he exercises it freely and without hindrance. Okay, so like I said, it's part of Christian growth and maturity to be able to overcome and counter fear. So first, an illustration. Book of John, chapter 20, verse 19. Okay, is the day of Christ's resurrection. That's 2 days after his crucifixion, right? Crucified on Friday, raised on Sunday. Where do we find the disciples Sunday evening? Okay, John 20, verse 19, that same day at evening, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Why were the doors shut? For fear of the Jews, right? Contrast that with just a few days later, Acts chapter 2, Acts 2 and 14, what do we see? We see Peter standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them all, "Men of Judea and those who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and hear my words," right? And he preached right out there in public about the Lord Jesus. "Let all the house of Israel know for sure that God has made this Jesus that you crucified both Lord and Christ." Okay, just a few days after that, they're speaking openly in the temple courts. This is Acts 4. It says, "The Sadducees came upon them greatly upset, greatly disturbed that they were teaching the people and preaching in Jesus the resurrection." Right, and they laid hands on them and they put them in custody. Okay, but what do we see Peter and John? Okay, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we're being judged today for a good deed done to a helpless man, how he's been made well, well, let it be known to you all that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole." Okay? "He is the stone that you builders rejected, but he's now become the chief cornerstone. There's salvation in no other name but the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved." And it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled. They were astonished. What made the difference? One day they're hiding. Not long after, they're right there in the middle of literally hundreds and hundreds of people, even after being warned a couple of times, even after being finally arrested and beaten, they go right back out there and they preach some more. What made the difference? They were set free from fear, right? They were set free from the bondage to fear to which they had been subject all their lives. Because if the Son of God sets you free, you are indeed free. Amen. Okay? Hebrews tells us this is why, okay, the verse I had you look up, Hebrews 2, 14, 15, this is why he took up his mission, so that he might destroy him who holds the power of death, namely the devil, and release those who all their lifetimes had been captive to fear. Okay, Peter and John had been made new, hadn't they? Okay, because if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. It means much, much more than sins forgiven. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sins forgiven is just the beginning of what the believer receives from God. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, right? My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and take your stand against the devil. Okay? Two glorious scriptures remind us of what have we received from God. Okay, do you hear this? What have we received? The first one, the shorter one, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, which says this, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, no longer does the believer have a mind that's contracted back and incapacitated by fear, a mind that's too timid to step out, too timid to take a risk, too timid to speak up, okay? Because what? The natural born mind is fallen, right? It's part of our condition, right? The natural born mind of man within him is fallen, and because of the fall, we're easily afflicted and beset by fears. Okay, but now God has given us a sound mind, which means a healthy one, a restored mind, stable and confident, a mind that is after the likeness of God's own mind. Okay, so it is not right for people who say that they trust in the mighty Son of God to shrink in fear. Okay, that would be a denial and a contradiction of the spirit that God has given us. Right, it's a failure for the Christian to say, I'm too afraid. Okay, the Christian, the scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of cowardice, but one of power and love and let's say solid-mindedness, right? The proverb says, the wicked flees even when no one pursues, but the righteous is bold as a lion, bold as a lion. The other passage that kind of goes along the same lines, it's worth turning to, so it's page 1300 in your pew Bible. It's Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, so I want to look at that, Romans 8, 14. And that says, Paul says, for as many of us as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Right? Remember, to whoever believed in his name, he gave them the right to be called sons of God. And 15 says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received, okay, Christians, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we call God, Abba, Father. Now, what does this mean? Okay, it means that the maker of the universe who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth has drawn intimately near to us and will undertake to uphold his sons and daughters by his righteous right hand, right? The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear, okay? We call God Father, Abba Father, a close, intimate relationship with the mighty God of the universe. Verse 16 says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we're his children, we are his heirs, God's heirs, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay, we are royal children. We are divine children in whom dwells the very Spirit of God, the King of the universe. Okay, this, friends, is what it means to be born anew. Okay, to have received this Spirit, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit that testifies within your heart, I am God's child, right? The Spirit that drives fear away. You know how John said that there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives fear away. Okay? Look a little farther down, verse 31. Paul says, so in conclusion, what shall we say, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? What is there to be afraid of? Okay, if God did not spare his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us everything else? Who can oppose God's elect, right? Who's going to bring a charge against one of God's chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ, right? Christ, the one who died, laid down his life, but furthermore is also raised. He even now is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. So who can separate us from the love of Christ? Is it going to be tribulation? Is it going to be distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Okay, just like it says in the Bible, for your sake we get killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, okay, in all these things, okay, not circumventing all of them, in all these things we... Now look at this. It's a verb. We overwhelmingly conquer. It's not a noun to say we are more than conquerors. It's a verb. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities nor powers, nor things present, which you could say is current events, right? That's things present, current events, or events to come, not height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Paul obviously is trying to show the Christians that fear ought to be a thing of the past for those who are born anew and who have received within their hearts the very Spirit of God. Hey, the Son has set you free. Be free. Right? Now, look, it's not that the devil is going to stop trying to attack us with fears, okay? He is not going to stop throwing anxieties and trepidations of all sorts at you. Certainly not, okay? A couple of weeks ago, I gave you 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. You hear it from Paul's own pen. He said, indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears, right? Inside were fears. But the steady Christian, the sturdy Christian, takes up the shield of faith, right, along with the whole rest of the kit, and quenches the fiery darts of the evil one, right? Fear is extinguishable, okay? Outside were conflicts, inside were fears, but what's the next thing that Paul says in verse 6 of that chapter? Nevertheless, God, right? Let's not say actually that fear is a thing of the past, but something better than that. Fear is extinguishable, right? The non-Christian cannot say this with confidence, right? The non-believer does not have the means. He doesn't have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, because that's something that we receive from God when we enlist with God. Okay? The non-believer cannot call upon God Almighty and call him Abba Father. The non-believer cannot find refuge in him. He's still in bondage, as he has always been, to fear. Okay? All their lives they were subject to fear, in bondage to the devil and his campaigns of fear. Okay? Fear on every side. Right? And a mighty fortress is our God is an alien concept to somebody who has not given his life to God, right? It does not describe the unbeliever's practical experience. Okay, now I want you to take a good look at our recent history. Okay, and by recent history, oh, I don't know, your whole life. Okay, when has there been a time in your whole life when they were not trying to press some fear upon you? Probably several at the same time. Okay, the ozone hole, the rising sea level, the climate, radon gas, lead, cancer, fossil fuels, the communist menace, the Islamic menace, the Y2K bug, pollution, nuclear war, nuclear fallout, famine, the bird flu, the swine flu, now it's COVID, okay? Hear me clearly, some of these things are real problems and they pose dangers, okay? Some of them, however, are blown far out of proportion by agents who either are sinister or ignorant, or probably both, okay? But you know how it's been. You've lived. It's one fear after another, wave after wave, always constantly some reason for alarm, some reason for emergency. We have to act now. We have to stop this. What are we going to do? It's, okay, it's bondage. It's bondage, these feelings of peril and helplessness and vulnerability. And all around us, this is exactly what we see, just what the Lord foretold in Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, 26, he said, men's hearts failing them from fear and from the expectation of things to come upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity, anguish, anxiety, and dismay. Okay, that's exactly what we see. Okay, this particular last year and a half, you know, has been a continuous campaign of fear. Right? What about the children? What about the elderly? What about your health? What about safety? Safety, safety, and more safety. Stay safe. Okay? Don't talk to people. Don't shake hands. Don't hug. Don't go to church. Don't look people in the face. Okay? Don't come close. When did Christian warriors become so timid? Okay? When did the captain sound the retreat? I didn't hear a retreat. Onward, forward, Christian soldiers, right? Forward into battle. See his banner go. I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of the house of bondage. I brought you out of it. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. Forward. Christ released us from fear, right? He came to destroy the devil and release those who all their lives were subject to fear, okay? But tremulous and shaky-kneed Christians keep getting snared by the devil, okay? Well, of course the devil is going to keep throwing fears at us. He sees that they work, okay? He knows how well it worked on us earlier in life. It still works, apparently, so yeah, he's going to use what works. He's never going to stop throwing fears and trepidations and anxieties at us. The scripture says we're not unaware of his devices. But apparently we are unaware of them because we keep falling for them. Okay, now to me it boggles the mind that still, 18 months into this, still there are churches that are closed. That to me is a shame. It is shameful. You ought to be embarrassed to wear the name of Christian at this point. Okay, it's cowardly and it is an act of unbelief. The evil day came and they failed. Okay, they failed to stand against the wiles of the devil. How did that happen? Hey, how does Jesus say that people stumble? He says, you err because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. Okay? The power of his might. So Matthew 24, hear what the Lord said. Okay, this is the scriptures. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. There it is. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All of this is the beginning of sorrows. But nevertheless, God, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to say in the face of fear? Okay, outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, okay, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor current events, nothing, okay, not money troubles, not health setbacks, not criminals and crooks, nothing in all creation. Christians, know the scriptures and know the power of God. Okay, peace I leave with you, right? My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be, what's the word? The word is cowardly, nor let it be afraid, right? The word is cowardly. King David says, oh God, by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except Jehovah? Who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength, makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has upheld me. Your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my path under me so that my feet do not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. You have armed me with strength for the battle and have subdued under me those who rose up against me. Okay, it's as if the Christians didn't know the scriptures or the power of God. Okay, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, the wicked flee even when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Okay, is the devil a prowling lion? You bet he is. Does he stalk you? Is there trouble on the left, trouble on the right, trouble all around, one fear after another, conflicts without fears within? Well, maybe so. Then let it be lion versus lion, okay? Nevertheless, God, right? In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Okay, strengthen the weak hands, firm up your feeble knees, say to the fearful hearted, don't be afraid.
Amen.
Be strong. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Okay, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Lion versus lion. Okay, what do you think armor is for in the first place? It's for your protection. Right? It's for your protection in the battle. Right? Not somewhere cooped up safe behind the lines. Safe behind the lines is for the people who are afraid. Okay? It's for people who are still in bondage and don't know what it is to be set free by the Son of God. Okay, you know how they say about America that freedom is not free. Okay? It requires something, doesn't it? It requires bravery against an enemy that intends to bring you back into captivity. Okay? To maintain freedom requires risk. It requires not that we never be afraid, but that we extinguish fear and engage in the contest. Okay? The righteous are bold as a lion. They have to be because the enemy is. Okay? And the only alternative to facing your fears down and extinguishing them in the strength of the Lord and in the power of his might, the only alternative is retreat. Okay, but to retreat means to return to servitude. One of our revolutionary fathers back in the days of the Revolution, Samuel Adams, speaking about the American endeavor, challenged the people whether they preferred the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom. Okay, what do you prefer, the tranquility of servitude or the animating contest of freedom? He said, if so, then go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you, and may your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are our countrymen. Okay, that's quite blunt, but it hits at a truth, I think, that applies in the spiritual realm as well. That maintaining your freedom in the Christian life is also an animating contest, okay? And it requires men and women to be strong and of a good courage, right? It is for freedom that Christ sets you free, okay? Remember from Hebrews, that's why he came, to release you from the fears, right? From the captivity to fear so that you could live up to the likeness of God, okay? Stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of captivity. Okay, let it not be said of us here who know the word of God that we shrank back in fear. Okay, we didn't receive that kind of a spirit from God, right? A spirit of power and of love and a sturdy mind. Okay, have you been made a new creature or haven't you? Okay, have we been set free by the Son of God, set free from fear, or are we still handcuffed? Okay, do we wish to measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ, a mature man the way God intended, then let nothing shake you. Okay, not the news, not the turmoil of the nations, not the future, not the present, not the media, not the schools, not the germs, not the invaders, not the conspiracies. Okay, nothing in all creation is what the scripture said. Do you hear that? Nothing in all creation. Don't fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty, he is the one you shall fear. He is the one you shall dread, and he will be for you a sanctuary, a rock in a weary land, a mighty fortress, and a strong tower. Okay, don't just sing the songs. Believe it. Live it. Stand in the evil day in the power of the might of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we worship you. We thank you. We call upon your name. Come and dwell in our hearts in power and in strength. And keep us sturdy, Lord. Help us to say to those who are of a small courage, be strong, don't fear. The Lord your God will come. He will come and save you with a strong arm. Father, you are God. You are our Father. You are the sturdy, the stable, the rock. We praise you. We worship your name. And we thank you, Lord, that through Christ we are your sons and daughters. Make us in your likeness, Lord. Form us and keep us strong. In the name of Jesus Christ, we implore you, Father, for this good gift, this powerful gift. Amen.